This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And the Commissioner has entered the building here to give you information from his many, many, many decades as a lawn, yard, and garden professional. The floor is yours after I tell you that we've gotten a lot of rain today.
Yes, for sure, and it's a lot coming down out in that parking lot right now.
Just talked to one of the forecasters at the National Weather Service. How much rain do you think we've gotten since midnight?
2 inches.
No.
How much?
3/4 of an inch.
That all?
The Roseburg Airport.
Well, my house I got 2 inches.
Well, they don't record it at your house.
I know, that's a shame.
We can't customize weather forecasts quite that much. But 3/4 of an inch of rain, and really rain in the forecast. In fact, the 10-day outlook, we have rain in the forecast every day through early December.
Great.
As depressing though that may be. For some of us.
Well, yeah, but you know, that's a snowpack in the mountains, and next spring and summer are going to be good because of the water and the ground and the streams and the lakes and everything else. So,
but I was going to go run an errand last hour that would have simplified things when we get done here at 5 o'clock, because I've got about 3 places I have to go in a minimal amount of time. So I thought, well, let's go take care of one of those right now. No, I'd like to not come back in totally soaked.
And I, yes, for sure.
You know, was not dressed for this today. So,
well, I got pretty wet walking from my truck. I park out there in the far parking lot, and it was coming down good, baby.
And why do you park so far away?
Well, because usually there's no closer places, but I got in the habit of going to this one spot, so that's what I do.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with walking long distances.
That's right. It keeps you in shape.
All right, very good. So what do we have on the agenda today?
Oh, we'll talk about rain, water, and stuff to plant, things like that. But anyway, thank you for listening, if you are. And if you have any gardening...
And if you're not listening, wait.
Hey, you know, just fake it. But if you have any questions about your landscaping or your drainage or building a pond or whatever, your calls are welcome. It's 673-4464. And any questions, fair game. So don't think your question is not reasonable. It's okay. I have all those kind of questions all the time. So, but it is a rainy, rainy day in Douglas County. I'll tell you what, boy, there's my small creeks at home are running, and I love to see and hear the water. So, you know, my creek is McNabb Creek, and it's small, and it only runs well from like November to March, or even maybe into April. But in the summer, all I have is pools of water, and that's enough to keep the fish alive. So I've established some pools up and down the creek and stocked them with trout and that kind of thing over the years, and so they're doing fine. And you know, it's a nice little creek, but boy, right now it's a big little creek, and it's going full time. So yard work this time of year, go in the house and stay there till April. No, this time of year, it's a little cold and a little sloppy, but if you work on small sections at a time, by spring, you know, it'll all look good. You don't have to tackle a whole big thing all at once. Just you might have a corner in the front yard or a corner in the backyard or something by the patio if you have a patio or along a fence. You know, look at it very carefully and say, "Yeah, I'd like to do something right now. Everything is dormant. The plants are dormant, and I can safely plant that kind of thing. Do I want to get saturated while I work? Well, you know, I can dry off, I guess. But it's a good time to kind of, you know, do some plans and kind of visualize what you want for your yard. And you know, you'll have to put up with the cold and the sloppy, but it just do a little bit at a time. You know, 3-4 hours, that's good, that's enough. And
3 or 4 hours,
yeah, it's just, you know, half a day. I mean, that's okay. Do it for 20 minutes, you know, until you get soaked. But this is a great time for planning any landscape projects, you know, for next spring. And any ideas you have and that you see, write them down. Or better yet, maybe draw a sketch of your ideas. You know, you got a little corner of the yard. It's kind of barren, and nothing's been planted there for from the time you've moved in, and you'd like to decorate it a little bit, and maybe maybe you want to plant a sound barrier or a privacy barrier there. You know, that's a thing you do. Or if you just maybe want a small little Japanese garden in that area, if it's large enough, you can put some sand up in there and some boulders and a Japanese maple and some ground covers and say, hey, voila, it's done. It's good. Little projects this time of year will keep your interest up for your yard, and it will slowly improve, you know, piece by piece. You don't have to, like I say, tackle it all at once. And like I say, it's a little cold and it's a little sloppy, but if you, like I say, the small sections are easy. By the time you get done working in a small section, say 2 hours have gone by, it's time to take a break and go in a house for about 2 hours and drink some coffee and continue the planning process in the house where it's dry. But, you know, this is, like I say, great time for planning those landscape projects for next spring. If you got something big in mind, you know, start thinking about what you want. Start calling around to landscape contractors or nurseries or whatever and get some ideas. And any ideas, like I say, write them down. Or better yet, like I say, if you can draw a little sketch, it doesn't have to be to scale necessarily, but it's a sketch of a corner of your backyard, and you want it 10 feet wide and 12 feet long or something like that. You know, kind of pace it out and look at it, see what the soil is like, and think about what would you like to see there. You want something colorful there, maybe three or four rhododendrons and a few azaleas, and call it a rhododendron azalea garden, some boulders or an old piece of driftwood chunked in there. And, you know, just you don't have to accomplish the task in one fell swoop. You can do a little bit at a time. And the more you do, the more ideas you get, and the more places, nurseries and things like that, that you visit, you'll see a plethora. How's that for a word? A plethora of plants that you can choose from. And you can ask questions to the nursery person. You know, how large does this particular plant get? What kind of soil does it need? What kind of watering, what kind of fertilizer, you know, get the basic ideas. But and further on today, I'm going to talk about watering and fertilizing, but just don't do it a lot. I've killed plants by overfeeding them. But, you know, it's take advantage of your dry living room and look out there and say, well, if I had a 10 by 10 space and I could do this, and I do want some rhodies and azaleas, or I do want some evergreens, or, you know, this blah, blah, blah. And then you just look at it very, very closely. And there are plenty of books on magazines on landscaping and nurseries and stuff like that to stimulate your imagination on the types of plants and the landscape design. You can also connect with a landscape design person, like me, for instance, to help you get started. And even though I'm retired from my nursery and have sold my nursery, I'm still doing consultations and plans and, you know, very, very small landscape, not landscaping jobs, kind of maintenance, cleanup. You know, I did that stuff for 50 years, and I got, you know, I'm at the age where I can slow down. So, but for 50 years, I designed and built landscapes all over Douglas County. And my guess is that I designed, at least 1,000 landscapes and probably installed another 1,000 landscapes over the years, you know, from something small to all of a sudden something big. Like I did Mercy Hospital. Me and my crew did Mercy Hospital when they first opened, way back, I think, in the 70s, sometime late 70s. I'm not quite sure. And then the RV park at Seven Feathers. We worked on that for probably 2 months, if I can remember correctly. Each RV spot had their own little garden all the way up through the whole place, and there was a lot of little gardens to do. But you know, it was good, and we got it done. And I also, along the way, I learned from my mistakes. And don't be afraid to make mistakes. You can always correct them. And that's what made me learn on a constant basis, you know, what works and what doesn't. And, you know, I go back to some of my landscapes that I did after about 3 years just to see what they look like. And if they looked big and overgrown, I knew, I shouldn't have put so many of those types of plants in that particular area. Or I can tell if the homeowner is not maintaining it properly. And what I would do, I'd stop, knock on the door and say, "Hi, Mr. Jones, how are you? Remember me?" "Oh, yeah, we had the landscaping done, blah, blah, blah." And I'd tell them, well, you know, some of those shrubs, you could prune them, and this is how you would do it, and maybe give them an example while I'm standing there. And normally, people, homeowners who are not up on what plants do and how they grow, they think they're going to do damage to the plant by pruning it or even killing it. I reassure them that, no, that's like giving them a haircut that actually strengthens them and gets them perking really good. And, you know, my recommendation, if you've not done any of this and you're kind of a little shy about trying it, get somebody to help you with the design. And if you lack the skill needed, get a few landscape design books. All the box stores have them in stock. You know, they're just go look at all the magazine sections, and you'll see books on landscaping and books on nurseries and things like this, and plants and that kind of thing. And you can learn what these plants do and what ones do well here and avoid, you know, big mistakes later on. And get ideas and bids from a landscape contractors. There's plenty of them around, and some of them are actually pretty good. And ask a lot of questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. You're not dumb. You're just not educated in that particular stream of life. You know, you may be a race car driver or a physician or whatever, but if you don't understand what the landscape guy is talking about or the nursery person is talking about, you need to explain it to them and paint them a word picture so they can begin to picture what that's going to look like in the yard. In the long run, if you do something along those lines, it's going to save you time and money. And like I say, I speak from experience. I've experienced that 150,000, well, not 150,000, but a lot of times when people are afraid to ask the questions because they fear that they're going to ask a dumb question. There is no such thing as a dumb question when you're talking about plants and landscaping and where to put them and how far apart do you put them and how do you plant them properly? What kind of soil do you need? How do you amend the soil? What do I do with all the rocks and all that kind of stuff? So those are good questions. Those are questions that you want to ask the professional. When you feel ready to do your own work, start small again. Don't do one little part of your yard and see how it works out. A little part of your yard is not the whole yard, and if you think you made a mistake or you could add more to it or you put too much in, you can work that out. You can transplant some of the stuff if it's overplanted and put it in another portion of the yard. But in other words, you want to make it look good. And if so, when you get that done, you can expand your horizon for another section of the yard. And, you know, there are several mistakes you can make that are, you know, fairly obvious. And we're going to have to take a break?
We are.
Okay, I'll get back with obvious mistakes right after the break.
All right, 420, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon 422, Douglas County's news team, the afternoon report at 5. We have rain. 40 6 degrees right now. Checking Palm Springs weather. Looking at a high of about 81 this afternoon in Palm Springs.
I feel sorry for those people.
No. No. We hear from some of them. You know, we've got some Roseburg folks that spend part of the winter in Palm Springs or the Coachella Valley or other areas down there. Some of them listen online. At least periodically, to check up on what's going on. And sometimes one of them will let me know about the temperature, and they'll say, oh, yeah, it's 82. It's very nice.
Right.
And then I am depressed for the foreseeable future.
Well, I went through, my wife and I went through Palm Springs in, coming back from a trip to San Diego, I think it was. And, you know, it's pretty. But it's, man, it's void of any living things, it seems. There's some cactus and some other sagebrush here and there, but it's rocky, rocky, hilly country. And where they got the golf courses is gorgeous. You know, you go from this brown rock mountain and you look down in the valley and it's just lush green. I don't know where they get the water, maybe out of the Colorado or somewhere, but geez, maybe they got a lot of springs. Palm Springs, yeah, maybe.
It's even warmer in Palm Springs right now than it is on Maui.
Oh, wow.
By a few degrees.
Oh, geez. Well, anyway, I'm talking about, you know, little spots in your yard to landscape and how what mistakes not to make and things you can do. But, you know, not preparing your yard for a new plant. And the preparation is very, very important. You got to get a complete cleanup prior to starting any of the landscape stuff. Because if you got a corner of the yard, I don't know, maybe it's 10 by 10 or something, or 10 by 12, whatever. It's just a small corner, and you want to decorate it up. You want to get it jazzy looking. Well, get in there and clean it up, and you know, get down there, scrape those weeds out, pull the weeds out, anything like that. If there's brush in there, pull that out, and all that kind of thing. But then you have a clean spot you can look at, and then you kind of figure out, how many plants can I put in this 10 by 10 or 15 by 10 area? And it might be in the corner of the yard. You got two wooden fences kind of closing it in. You have to visualize, you know, look at it and imagine how many plants would go in there before you even go plant shopping. And that's a good way to start there. And planting, one of the mistakes is that people who have not done it before or not have a lot of experience is planting those plants too close together, because in time they grow and they get crowded, and then you either have to eliminate some of them or prune them drastically, or if you are a gardener and you know about pruning, you prune them you know, every year or just a little bit to keep them in line. But one thing you don't want to do is buy plants that are going to grow too large for your space. You know, always do your research or ask questions about, well, how big will this particular plant get? Well, it'll get, you know, 6 feet tall, 6 feet wide, and then you go, I could only probably put two of those in my small space, or maybe I could put three. But you don't want to put five of them in there as a backdrop, because all you're going to have in 3 or 4 years is just a big giant green mess that needs a lot of work. So always start out small, and you can remember, always add, you know, little stuff as time goes by and you get the feel of what you're doing. In other words, just in general, give your plants room to grow. And like I say, that's just a short list, you know, to keep in mind when doing your own landscaping. Always think 3 years in advance. Always think, I wonder what that's going to look like in 3 years or 4 years. And do your research. It's okay, because there are books that will tell you, hey, this particular plant will get 10 feet tall and 8 feet wide in, you know, X amount of years. So you don't want to put six of them 4 feet apart in your backyard. That's a waste of time, waste of money, and creates you a whole lot of work in the long run. So let's say you want to want a little privacy in your backyard. You know, you got a wooden fence, but you want to knock down on the, you know, the neighbor's got three boys and they play baseball and football in the backyard, and they're, you know, kind of noisy, and the football comes flying over or the baseball comes flying over once in a while. It's okay. But if you want to kind of try to cut that down a little bit, you can do a little privacy hedge in in your backyard. Just, you know, some plants that will kind of cut down the noise. Any plants that get up there will cut down the noise to some degree. And it may stop some of the baseballs or footballs that come over the fence, too. So what type of plants are available to do the job? Huh? Well, I don't know. There's a lot out there. I don't know what they look like. But also, make sure you have the room for them. You'll want to choose evergreens, for instance, for privacy. That won't lose their foliage when winter time rolls around, like, you know, right now that we're experiencing. And a favorite is arborvita. Arborvita, it's an evergreen. It's a tall, skinny tree, skinny in that it'll get about 4 feet across at maturity, maybe from branch tip to branch tip, but it's a slow grower and takes a lot of years to get there. And if you buy them in a small 1 gallon can, they might be 2 feet tall or 2.5 feet tall, and they don't look like much. So you might want to buy something that's 4, 5, 6 feet tall if they're available, and start with those, and then you can get a real feel. But that's a good plant for the beginning of a privacy area, because you've got something started there, and like I say, it's evergreen year round, and it's going to grow, you know, medium fast, and it has very dense foliage, and you know that it's tight branching, and it's going to provide total privacy in just a few years, you know, 3 to 5 years, for instance, with good care. Like fertilizing every spring and not over watering, it can grow 12 to 18 inches taller each year. And if you got really good ground, it may grow 20 inches each year. So in, you know, 3 years, you know, that's 5 feet tall almost, or 4.5 feet tall. And they form, you know, they as they grow, they form like total privacy. But if you only buy 3 foot tall plants, like I say, and it's going to take a while to get them up there and to have a nice screen. But if you plant an arborvita, I would plant them 5 feet apart, 4 feet apart, but no closer than 4 feet apart. And you put those smaller plants in at 4 feet apart, and you go, that's not going to do it. It will. Trust me, in a few years, you'll say, boy, I'm glad I put those dudes 4 feet apart, because each one expands, say, to about a 2 foot diameter with their foliage. They're touching. And when they're touching, hey, you've got your privacy screen. That's as simple as it gets. And, you know, it's a good green, bright spot in your backyard. And then in the foreground of that, you can put some azaleas or dwarf rhododendrons, or, you know, something that's going to be small and blooms and will be a real standout plant because of the evergreen background. And maybe you have some pink or red or purple flowers on the plants that you plant. It just depends on what you get. But excuse me, it's just a good way to start. And once you get that first little bit done on your own, you'll gain confidence and knowledge about how plants grow, the type of plants that you want, and you'll find yourself visiting more nurseries during the year and seeing what's there. We did that when we owned Wintergreen. People would come in and say, I've got this backyard and I got this and this, and I want to do this and this, but I don't know how to do it. So if I was there, I would walk them through and ask them questions about how much space they had, were there any power lines going through their backyard or their front yard, you know, what was their long-term desire to have, and then go through and show them plants that would fit the bill. And you know, they would either like them or say, no, I don't like the foliage, or it's going to be too small, or you know, there's a lot of different reasons, and then take them to something that would be more suitable for their particular project, and they pick them out and ask questions, and I tell them, this is how you plant them, this is how you water them, this is how you fertilize them, and you know, it's good to go from there. You know, with like on the arborvitaes that I was just talking about, with good care, like fertilizing every spring and not overwatering, you know, like I said, it'll grow 12 to 18 inches each year. It will do that, and they form in time like a total privacy screen. However, if you only buy 3 foot tall plants, it's going to take a while to get to a nice screen, but that's okay. It's something that you can watch and do. But I usually, when people want that screen stuff, that privacy thing, I say, well, I recommend these larger ones that are like 5 to 6 feet tall. And sometimes you can get larger ones than that, but usually 5 or 6 foot tall arborvitae weighs 50, 60 pounds, and you got to lug it around and lug it to the backyard and dig the big hole and all that. But once they're planted, water sparingly the first year, about maybe once a week a soak is in the heat of the summer only. And then you want to fertilize lightly, say once a month from April to June. And when I say lightly, you know, half a handful spread around the base, not close to the stem, but just kind of in the general area of where the root ball is. And it takes, it'll take with watering and stuff, it'll take 3 weeks for that fertilizer to finally get down to the root zone. But by that time, it's lost some of its energy, and it still works, but it doesn't shock the plant. It doesn't kill the plant because it's not an overdose. You can overdose them. You think, well, if half a handful is good, well, you know, two handfuls ought to be better. No, wrong. you don't want to do that. So, but at any rate, for a good screen, I like I said, I recommended planting, 5 to 6 foot tall plant at least, so you can see what you've got initially, and you can plan and say, well, later on, once you get those planted, later on, I can add A, B, and C. And in the meantime, even going to nurseries or looking at, you know, other places to sell plants like Freddy's and that kind of thing, and see what they actually have, and see if you like them. But the thing that I've harped on all these years on the radio and in the garden columns I write, you got to water sparingly that first year. Like I say, about once every 5 to 7 days in the heat of summer on the bigger plants. And in the smaller plants, it might take a little bit more frequent water, but you'd be more light on the water and also lightly fertilizing. Maybe once a month with a liquid fertilizer, just kind of spruce them up, just kind of give them a shot of, it's like eating a Snickers bar when you're hungry, you know, and April to June or maybe even July. And if the foliage, when you're doing this and you're watching the plants, if the foliage on the tips start to turn brown a little bit, cut back on the water and the fertilizer, because that's an indicator that you're doing way too much and way too much all at once. So, and if you have a call, 673-4464, any call is fair game.
All right, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show back in a moment, 436 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
4:39 and the current weather?
Raining.
Rain, yeah.
A lot of rain.
Great.
Coming down out there, so enjoy it.
Nothing's changed, oh boy.
Because thankfully we will not turn into a desert. But I've been talking about, you know, small part landscaping in your yard, you know, and once you get that small stuff done, or take a small piece of the yard and do it and do it right with good advice, your ideas about landscaping the rest of your yard or trimming some of the stuff, old stuff that maybe has been there a while and trying to knock over the garage or something, you'll get enthusiastic about doing little spots all through the yard. You don't have to, you know, sweep it all at once and have a yard that's totally empty and then try to get it all done, because it'll burn you out real fast if you try that. I know I speak from experience there, but you want to pace yourself and stay in the learning process for, you know, open ears, open eyes, books to read. Don't go long there. Kyle's leaving me all alone in here. I'm not sure I can handle it. But, you know, after you've gotten your small garden along your fence or whatever established, you know, after the first year, you want to water probably like on the arborvitae deeply, maybe once a month. That's all it takes. And by year three, they're well established, and you only have to water in June, July, and August one time each month. I mean, because the root system is expanded and it's gone down into the soil deeper where there is more moisture. And, you know, if you take a spot in your yard in the middle of July and start digging down, and it's dry, you know, the first foot is dry, you get down there about 2 feet and you'll start noticing that the soil is a little cooler. It's a little different color. That's because there's moisture in that soil. You get down about 3 feet, you might actually hit some water. I mean, and not a water pipe, but, you know, some natural groundwater. So that's why I say you don't want to overwater, because as those root systems grow, they and you water deeply, you know, once a month or twice a month, the water goes down, and it goes down and it actually hits the place in the soil where you didn't dig, and it penetrates more slowly into there because you haven't broken any of the soil up, but it's still moisture in the soil, and that root system will follow the water down. Or if it's the roots will go to the side as well, and that stabilizes whatever plant you have. But there's the root hairs of those other roots will go down and seek the moisture and the nutrition and send it up into the plants, and they'll be really good to go. But like I say, by year three, you know, those arborvitae, they're well established. Not so much on a rhodia or an azalea or you know, some other type of shrub. They have a more shallow root system, so they're going to need, you know, once a week in the summer, you know, at least that. And you always want to be testing your soil. Let's say you planted some stuff in February and you hadn't had to water anything until about, mid-April, first part of May. But what I have always done, if I had questions or if the homeowner that I was doing a project for had questions, I took them out in the yard and dig down beside the plants that we planted for them, or they planted, and dig down and show them where the moisture level was and show them how damp the ground was, and not to add any, you know, great amounts of water to the existing plants, because then you begin to rot the roots. Too much water excludes the oxygen from the root system, and as a consequence, the roots begin to shrivel up and die, and then you see leaves on top curling up and turning brown and all that kind of stuff, and that's because the root system has been severely damaged or even killed because of too much water and not enough oxygen getting down into that root system. It's a balance that you have to figure out, and you might lose a few plants here and there, but if you keep at it and keep paying attention to what's going on in your yard, you'll learn very quickly the type of planting you need to do, the type of watering, the type of fertilization for your best results. And since in the planting part, the soil part, here in Douglas County, we have predominantly a clay soil. It's hard. It doesn't drain real well because it's the soil is layered in layers like pancakes. So the soil moisture, it takes a long time for that water to penetrate those layers and get down to a depth. So when you're planting new plants and you dig out that heavy clay soil, put it to the side and put a good topsoil, compost, bark mulch mix into the planting hole. When you do water, that water gets down fairly quickly into that root system and you have good results. And after, like I said, 2 to 3 years, that root system is so vigorous that it can establish itself into the clay soil and it's vigorous enough to actually take a hold and penetrate that clay, and you'll see the growth in the tree or the shrub or whatever you planted there. You'll see the growth. You'll see that, hey, by golly, that looks healthy. It looks good. And as time goes on, as the roots develop more and get larger and penetrate more area, you'll get to the point sometime in the future, like with a tree or an arborvita, fruit trees, anything like that. You don't have to water them anymore. They're good to go. I've got, half a dozen fruit trees at my place. And my soil is a combination of forest soil. I live out in the boondocks, and it's kind of a forest soil and very little clay, so it drains fairly well. But I still enhance the soil with compost of some sort, whether it's old fine grind bark mulch or old sawdust, you know, the really old stuff that's turning really dark colors and things like that. That's good nutrition, and it's good drainage. And you mix it with your regular soil, like a 50-50 basis or something like that, and you know that it's going to drain well. And I always over-dig the holes. I always make them twice the size as what they should be, and as a consequence, everything lives. Great. My apple trees along my creek, on one side of my creek, I got about five fruit trees, I think. Some are apples and some are pears and that kind of thing. And they're looking great. And in the summertime, I water them maybe twice a month, maximum. And my wife, I think, waters them when I'm not looking. So they're doing well. They're growing well. And I fertilize them every year. And I fertilize a little bit in the fall, like right now, and then again in March. And then by the time the growing season gets going and the root systems kind of wake up from their dormancy, they're good to go. They're just punching leaves out and fruit and blossoms, and the only thing I'm missing is some bees to pollinate. I've got a few bees out there, but not many, so I'm contemplating getting a hive started. I've got the box, but I don't have the bees to go in it, so if there's any bee guys out there, give me a call sometime here and sell me some bees and I'll get that started. But like I say, anything you plant this time of year, or they're going to be good for several months. You're not going to have to water them. You're not going to have to do anything to them other than, like I say, a small handful of fertilizer around their base. And one thing too, when you're planting, make sure you don't plant them next to your house, next to your garage, or right up against the fence. Give them some space so they can grow. And it's a good thing. It'll be healthier. You'll have air circulation, and air circulation keeps the bug and disease and that kind of population very minimal, because there's air and sunlight circulating. And another good screening plant is a photinia. Some people call them firebush. They have the bright, it's an evergreen with big, big green leaves, but the new growth is bright red, and then it later turns to green within a couple of months over the spring and the summer. And it turns to green and looks good. But all the new growth is bright red, and it's a fast-growing shrub, and it can get wild on you. So you want to make sure you have plenty of space in which to grow it. You don't want to put it along the sidewalk or something like that. But it's a good backyard or side yard screening shrub if you don't want a tree or if you don't want an arborvitae or anything like that. But it's bright red. It's really pretty, and you'll enjoy it. And if the leaves, like I said, turn brown on the tips, that's a sign of too much water or too much fertilizer or too much of both. And either of these two plants that I've been talking about can be pruned and shaped to your liking. If you like a squared off photinia, you can do that. It'll look kind of weird when you first do it, but it grows out of it very quickly. Or you just round the top out so it stays full on the bottom. Same way with the arborvitae. You can prune those, but not much pruning is necessary. And there's a lot of other shrubs too that can be used for screens, but you have to look around and you have to, like I say, ask a lot of questions and see what they do. Do some research, do some reading. And these are all the hints that I'm giving to people that want to do their own landscaping or their own planting. And there's a whole lot of you out there, I know that. And, even when we did a job, like when we were totally incomplete, I always gave the homeowner, here's a list of instructions. Basically what I'm telling you, I'm giving them, I'm in writing, here's what you want to do, this is when you want to do it, this is how much you want to do it, and this is when you can prune it if necessary. And, that's going to keep the plants alive. And like I said a thousand times on this radio show, overwatering will kill a plant quicker than underwatering. So we're going to take a break and we'll be back.
All right. 451 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Final segment for the day. We'll have the podcast up just a little bit after 5. You can listen back at 541radio.com. Share it around. Of course, you have to use the internet to do that.
Yeah, and that puts me out of the ball game.
We're going to get you there eventually.
Oh, yeah, okay. When I get your age, I will. But anyway, I've been hammering the planting process, because that's the most important part of the landscape. The plants are good and the bark's good and the soil's okay, but you've got to know the right combination to put together so that plant will survive, not only the first year but subsequent years, and grow and be healthy for you. Because there are so many places that we went to over the years. And I would go to give somebody an estimate and look, and the ground I was walking on felt like concrete. And I said, this is just native soil that was here when we bought the home, and it was a brand new tract home and blah, blah, blah. And I would do some shovel work and dig some test holes here and there, one over here and one over there, a couple in the back, just to see how far down this hard pan clay or whatever it was actually there. And then when you're giving a bid on a landscape, you say, well, we're going to have to do this with topsoil, because this ground here is not going to be amendable to plants when you plant them. You can't just plant them in this kind of soil. And that's like the basic, most important part of the whole game. And if it's really hard pan, it takes a while. There have been jobs I rented a jackhammer on just to break the top 6 inches of the ground, because it was so, full of shale or pea gravel or something like that, just to get down to where the ground was halfway decent, to we could mix other soil amendments in it so that whatever we planted was going to actually survive. And because if it doesn't survive, the homeowner calls you very quickly and says, hey, those plants are dead, blah, blah, blah. So I go out there and take a look, and by golly, that was true. And it's usually the soil or the water is what makes things go down the tubes quickly. So And I know, like, I haven't been harping on this whole program, but it is the most important part of your landscaping if you're going to do any of it yourself. Now, a true professional landscape contractor with experience will know this firsthand and would inspect all the places of your yard when they're giving you a bid. And all that's part of that bid is, you know, getting rid of the bad soil and incorporating good soil so that you actually have success in your landscaping long term. And that's what you want. You don't want something to be in the ground for three weeks or 3 months and all of a sudden turn brown because they can't penetrate the soil because it's pure rock. Or you're watering like crazy thinking, oh, it needs more water, and there's no drainage, so consequently the roots just shrivel up and die, and they cannot transform any of the nutrition from the soil up into the plant so that it can grow. So it's all built on how soil structure works and how to amend that soil structure for the best results and the best amendments that you can use are old bark mulch or old sawdust that's really old. You can buy peat moss or some kind of compost material and mix it 50-50 with the existing soil, and you have improved that soil 200% for crying out loud, so that when you do plant, everything's going to grow. And that's all that's necessary. And if you, like I say, getting back to the privacy thing, if you only want a little bit of privacy, you don't have to do arborvitae. You can do some trees. You can do some dogwoods. You can do some Japanese maples, some flowering plums. And, you know, they're all hardy, and they're, you know, fairly, you know, medium growers. They're not slow. They're not fast. It just depends on the soil, of course, and the care. But they're medium growers, and they're easily pruned and shaped. They're not like a total blackout screen, but they eliminate some of the distraction from what you're experiencing. And they're attractive. They look good. They've got some color. They've got the only time that they're not looking really great is this time of year when all the leaves and things fell off. But, you know, come 2-3 months from now, when the things start to bud up again and the new flowers come on a dogwood or a flowering cherry or a flowering plum, you've got a pretty tree. And you're going to be outside in the spring and the summer, and not so much in the winter when the trees are bare. So how much time we got here?
You've got about 40 seconds.
40 seconds. So I hope you learned something from it. I hope you didn't hang up on me because you're just saying the same old thing over and over. That's because a lot of people need to hear it more than once. And I'm one of those people, by the way. I need to hear it more than once, too. So hopefully next week you'll have your questions ready and we can get on with a new show. So in the meantime, thanks for listening. And this is old Michael signing off.
And it's still raining, by the way.
Oh, of course it's raining.
Oh, boy. Wrapping up the program for today, the podcast up soon at 541radio.com. Mike Witter's Lawn and Garden Show, Wednesdays at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.